Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Marcela Sanchez. President Trump says anything less than U.S. control of Greenland is unacceptable. His post on social media came just hours before Vice President J.D. Vance was set to host Danish and Greenlandic officials for talks in Washington. Tuta Mikkelsen, a resident of Nuuk, Greenland's capital, pushed back against Trump's claims that Chinese and Russian forces are lurking off the island's coast.
I think he's just trying to scare us about saying that Russians and Chinese ships is around Greenland. It's probably not true. I don't believe it.
In his post on social media, Trump reiterated his argument that the U.S. needs Greenland for the purpose of national security. The White House has not ruled out taking the Arctic island by force.
A senior Greenland government official says it's unfathomable the United States is discussing taking over a NATO ally. Leading up to meetings in Washington, Naja Nathanielsen, Greenland's Minister for Business and Mineral Resources, urged the Trump administration to listen to the people there.
We have no intention of becoming American. It is not something we have aimed for, worked for, but we have worked towards more collaboration with Americans for many, many years. We are an American ally.
Nathanielsen says Greenlanders are not sleeping. Children are afraid.
We feel betrayed. We feel that the rhetoric is offensive, as we have stated many times before, but also bewildering.
President Trump has pushed the issue and is considering a range of options, including military force, to acquire Greenland.
For others, this might be a piece of land, but for us, it's home.
Greenland is a semi-autonomous Danish territory. I'm Ed Donahue.
AP correspondent Ed Donahue reports a former president could face contempt charges.
Former President Bill Clinton and his wife, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, say they will refuse to comply with a congressional subpoena for them to testify in an investigation into Jeffrey Epstein. The Clintons are slamming a Republican-controlled committee's attempts for them to testify as legally invalid. Oversight Committee Chair James Comer has questions for the Clintons.
Jeffrey Epstein visited the White House 17 times while Bill Clinton was president. I've been in Congress 9 years. I think I've been to the White House 9 times in 9 years. Epstein was in the White House double the amount of time that I was under one president.
The Clintons told Comer he is on the cusp of a process literally designed to result in their imprisonment. Comer was asked if President Trump should testify.
He answers questions every day about Epstein.
Will you rule out?
Well, you can't bring in a current president.
Comer says he'll begin contempt of Congress proceedings next week against Bill and Hillary Clinton.
Global shares mostly rose today after Wall Street pulled back from its recent records. This is AP News. The AP's Jennifer King reports on Snoop Dogg's latest role as an NBA sportscaster.
Snoop Dogg's making a splash as an NBA analyst, joining Reggie Miller and Terry Gannon on Peacock January 5th as they called a Warriors-Clippers broadcast.
But I've done it, so now this is an opportunity for me to actually do it with those who do it all the time.
Snoop, a.k.a. Calvin Brodus Jr., says he studied legendary play-by-play announcers like the Lakers' Chick Hearn to prepare for the gig.
I love me some Chick Hearn. I love the way he controlled the game, where you didn't even have to, you know, see the game. You could just hear his voice and he could tell you exactly what was going on.
He's done his research.
Gannon and Miller were impressed.
Snoop elevates anything he's a part of. He did in Paris with the Olympics. He was a big part of that.
He's one of the best entertainers of our time.
The rapper turned actor and sportscaster says this isn't a cameo.
It's not about the business. It's about me loving what I do, and I'm going to inspire somebody to come behind me.
I'm Marcela Sanchez, AP News.
There is a shakeup at the Justice Department in Minnesota. Sources tell the AP roughly half a dozen federal prosecutors resigned in Minnesota, and several supervisors in the criminal section of the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division have announced they're leaving. It follows growing tensions over the Trump administration's decision to block the state out of the investigation into the shooting death by an ICE agent of Renee Good. Meantime, in Minneapolis, federal officers sprayed eye irritant and dropped tear gas at activists. Gas clouds fill the streets. This man was in the group.
They tried to abduct my neighbors on Saturday morning. We all came out. We drove them off. We're driving out people every day, driving out ICE hired goons.
It's common for people in Minneapolis to boo, taunt, and blow orange whistles when they spot heavily armed agents passing through in unmarked vehicles or walking in the streets. I'm Ed Donahue.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth announcing Elon Musk's artificial intelligence chatbot Grok will join Google's AI engine inside the Pentagon network.
Very soon, we will have the world's leading AI models on every unclassified and classified network throughout our department. Long overdue.
Hegseth making the announcement Monday at Musk's SpaceX company in Texas as part of a push to integrate as much military data as possible into the developing technology. It follows global criticism of Grok for generating sexualized deepfake images of people without their consent. Hegseth says he would make all appropriate data from the military's IT systems available for AI exploitation. He also said data from intelligence databases would be fed into AI systems. I'm Julie Walker.
The Trump administration has designated the Lebanese, Jordanian, and Egyptian chapters of the Muslim Brotherhood as terrorist organizations. The group was founded in Egypt in the 1920s and is seen by many as the origin of political Islam. The Brotherhood's leaders say it renounced violence decades ago and seeks to set up Islamic rule through elections and other peaceful means, though some of the group's offshoots have armed wings. The State Department designated the Lebanese branch a foreign terrorist organization, the most severe of the labels, while the Treasury Department listed the Jordanian and Egyptian branches as specially designated global terrorists for providing support to Hamas. I'm Marcela Sanchez.
President Trump has a message for protesters in Iran. On social media, the president writes, "Help is on its way," without saying what that might entail. His post appears to mark an abrupt shift in his willingness to engage with Tehran's government amid the deadly crackdown. Just yesterday, the Trump administration was offering guarded hope about finding a diplomatic solution. Today, the president says he's canceled all talks with Iranian officials, and he's urging what he calls Iranian patriots to keep protesting and take over their institutions. Sagar Meghani at the White House.
Thousands of nurses walking the picket lines in New York City for a second straight day Tuesday at Mount Sinai, Montefiore, and New York Presbyterian. Nancy Hagans, president of the New York State Nurses Association, says none of the hospitals have agreed to additional bargaining sessions since Sunday.
We are ready to negotiate. We are ready to care for our patients.
The strike involves 15,000 nurses, including Roy Permal.
We're out here to stand as long as we need to get a better contract, a fair contract. It's about health care, health insurance for the nurses. It's about safety.
The private nonprofit hospitals have brought in replacement nurses. They say they've made strides in staffing in recent years and have cast the union's demands as prohibitively expensive. A New York City Council employee from Venezuela was detained by ICE agents Monday after his scheduled check-in. They say Rafael Andres Rubio Bojorquez overstayed a tourist visa and had once been arrested for assault. Council Speaker Julie Menin disputed that at a news conference Monday.
According to everything that we know, this man was here legally. And he was legally authorized to work in the United States. He, in fact, signed an attestation in January at the City Council that he's never been arrested.
Congressman Dan Golden.
They are going after the easiest prey they can find. And that is the people who are going to court and going to their check-ins.
They say immigration lawyers are working on his case. Julie Walker, New York.
More than 100,000 El Paso, Texas residents have been left with little to no water after a main break over the weekend. It's expected to take till midweek for operations to return to normal. Officials said the break in the 36-inch water main line happened late Saturday night in the border city, which has a population of about 700,000 people. An official with El Paso Water called it an event of unprecedented proportion. He says the break was made even more impactful because of the way the pipeline itself was designed, along with how different connections of smaller lines were made to it. He said there isn't enough information yet to determine what caused the break. I'm Haya Panjwani.
I'm Seth Sutal, and this is the AP Market Report. Wall Street edged back from its records after the latest profit reporting season for big companies got off to a mixed start. The S&P 500 fell 0.2% Tuesday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 398 points. That's about 0.8%. The Nasdaq Composite fell by 0.1%. JP Morgan Chase was one of the heaviest weights on the market following its profit report. The nation's biggest bank fell by 4.2%. Treasury yields moved lower in the bond market. That came after an update on inflation strengthened expectations that the Federal Reserve may be able to cut its main interest rate at least twice this year. The yield on the 10-year Treasury note fell to 4.17%. Seth Sutel, New York.
Inflation declined a bit last month as prices for gas and used cars fell, a sign that cost pressures are slowly easing. The Labor Department said Tuesday consumer prices rose 0.3% in December from the prior month, the same as in November. Excluding the volatile food and energy categories, core prices rose 0.2%, also matching November's figure. Even as inflation has eased, large price increases for groceries, rent, and health care have left many Americans feeling squeezed, turning affordability issues into high-profile political concerns. Signs inflation is cooling could make it more likely the Fed will reduce its key interest rate later this year, something President Trump has been pushing Fed Chairman Jerome Powell to do. I'm Julie Walker.
Emmy-winning actor-director Timothy Busfield, known from his work on TV shows like The West Wing and 30-something, has turned himself in to police in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Authorities had issued a warrant on 2 counts of criminal sexual contact of a minor and 1 count of child abuse. In an exclusive video posted by TMZ, Busfield says the allegations are lies. The complaint alleges that between 2022 and 2024, Busfield inappropriately touched 2 twin boys, child actors, on the set of The Cleaning Lady, a TV series Busfield was directing. In a previous interview, he told authorities he may have picked up and tickled the children because the set was a playful environment. According to the complaint, one of the boys has been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder and anxiety and told a social worker he has nightmares about Busfield. Scott Adams, creator of Dilbert, the once popular workplace comic strip who later faced backlash over racist remarks, has died after a battle with prostate cancer. His death was announced by ex-wife Shelley Miles. Adams got his start working a corporate job at the Pacific Bell Telephone Company, sharing his cartoons to amuse coworkers. He got picked up by United Media, and the first Dilbert strip launched in 1989. The comic captured the ridiculousness of modern office culture, and the characters, like Dilbert's pointy-haired boss and megalomaniac dog, were seen in thousands of papers spanning 70 countries. There was even a Dilbert TV series that lasted 2 seasons. The strip was dropped from syndication in 2023 after Adams, who was white, repeatedly referred to black people as members of a hate group. Adams continued the comic on the Rumble platform and hosted a podcast. President Trump remembered him as a fantastic guy who liked and respected me when it wasn't fashionable to do so. Scott Adams passed away at age 68. I'm Jennifer King.
AP Sports, I'm Geffen Coolball. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scored 34 points as the defending NBA champion Oklahoma City Thunder beat the San Antonio Spurs 119-98 for their first win in 4 meetings this season.
Nothing that I didn't expect. Like, I knew that if we played a certain way, we'd be able to beat anybody in the world.
Mavericks big Anthony Davis will be sidelined an estimated 6 weeks, but won't need surgery to repair ligament damage in his left hand. College basketball, unranked Kansas handed number 2 Iowa State its first loss of the season with an upset 84-63 victory. NHL, Nikita Kucherov's shootout winner lifted the Lightning over the Penguins 2-1 for their 11th straight win. The Mike Tomlin era in Pittsburgh is over. The longest tenured head coach in major American professional sports stepped down from his job leading the Steelers on Tuesday after yet another quick playoff exit. The announcement came a day after the end of his 19th season in Pittsburgh, where he was a relative unknown when he was hired to replace Bill Cowher in early 2007. Tomlin guided the Steelers to a Super Bowl title in 2008 and finished with a 193-114-2 regular season record. Team president Art Rooney II said in a statement that he was extremely grateful to Mike. MLB, the Arizona Diamondbacks acquired 8-time All-Star third baseman Nolan Arenado from the St. Louis Cardinals. University of Miami football coach Mario Cristobal has brought the Hurricanes back to the national spotlight.
It's a lot bigger than me.
always has been.
His approach mirrors the values instilled by his Cuban-American parents: hard work, toughness, and dedication.
Miami did so much for us. It's time for all of us to join together and give back to Miami.
Cristobal returned to his hometown and alma mater 4 years ago, aiming to build a championship team. On Monday in Miami, his Hurricanes face undefeated Indiana in the college football playoff championship, seeking their sixth national title.
There's no way to go forward and achieve the things we want to achieve unless we are put to the ultimate test.
Cristobal, who won two national championships as an offensive lineman for the school in 1989 and 1991, emphasizes family, hard work, and togetherness.
We're grateful for those tests, and we look forward to preparing to the best of our abilities to go be 1-0 again.
Snowboarder Chloe Kim says she's good to go for the Milan Cortina Olympics despite tearing the labrum in her shoulder during a training run last week in Switzerland. The two-time gold medalist in the halfpipe posted an update to Instagram, saying she wasn't surprised to learn she had torn the area that holds her shoulder together. She says she's upset that she won't be able to snowboard again until just before the Winter Games. She confirmed she will be in Italy going for her third straight Olympic title. I'm Geffen Coolbaugh.
The idea had been that mandatory digital ID cards could help control immigration. Watering down the policy is the latest U-turn by Prime Minister Keir Starmer's embattled centre-left government, which is under fire from both opposition politicians and governing Labour Party lawmakers. Officials confirmed on Wednesday that it won't be compulsory for citizens and residents to show a digital ID card in order to get a job. The government says detailed plans for digital cards will be set out following a full public consultation, which will be launched shortly. Starmer had announced in September that you will not be able to work in the UK if you do not have a digital ID card. It's as simple as that. The train derailment occurred on part of an ambitious planned high-speed rail project that will eventually connect much of Southeast Asia with China. In addition to the deaths, over 60 people were injured, and rescuers are combing the wreckage and providing first aid. The crane, being used to build an elevated part of the railway, fell as the train was travelling from Bangkok to Ubon Ratchathani province, according to officials where the accident took place. Photos published in Thai media show rescue workers on top of overturned railway carriages, some with gaping holes torn on their sides. What appeared to be sections of the crane were scattered along the track. Thai media has also been reporting the train had three carriages, the last two being the most damaged. The transport minister says 195 people were on board the train. He's ordered an investigation. Iran's top judge has hinted at fast trials and executions for those detained in nationwide protests, even as activists say the death toll's risen to levels unseen in decades. Iran's judiciary chief made the comments about trials and executions in a video on Tuesday, despite a warning from President Donald Trump that he would take very strong action if executions take place. The US-based human rights activists news agency now says the number of dead has climbed to over 2,570. The figure dwarfs the death toll from any other round of protests of unrest in Iran in decades, and recalls the chaos surrounding the country's 1979 Islamic Revolution. After Trump was informed on the number of deaths, he warned Iran's leaders that he was terminating any negotiations and would act accordingly. Activists say the death toll from nationwide protests in Iran has spiked to at least 2,000 people killed. This level of violence around protests hasn't been seen in Iran in decades. The US-based Human Rights Activists News Agency, which has been accurate in previous unrest in recent years, has the latest toll. It says well over 1,800 of the dead over more than 2 weeks of protests were protesters, while 135 were government-affiliated. Another 9 children were killed, and 9 civilians, the group says, were not taking part in the protests, also killed. With the internet down in Iran, gauging the demonstrations from abroad is difficult. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
At least 4 people have died in Gaza from collapsing walls as strong winds hit the area. Hospital authorities say that dangerous living conditions persist due to past Israeli bombardment and aid shortfalls. Despite a ceasefire since October 10th, aid groups say many Palestinians lack proper shelter from winter storms. The dead include 2 women, a girl, and a man. Meanwhile, the child death toll in Gaza has risen. The Gaza Health Ministry reported that a 1-year-old boy died of hypothermia overnight. UNICEF says over 100 children have been killed since the ceasefire began. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
In South Korea, an independent counsel is asking that former President Yoon Suk-yeol face a death sentence if he is found guilty over his attempt to impose martial law on the country back in December of 2024. The Seoul Central District Court says the request was made at a hearing Tuesday. Yoon was removed from office last April and faces trials over the martial law incident and other scandals. The court is expected to deliver a verdict in February. Yoon has argued that his decree was a peaceful attempt to raise awareness about the opposition Democratic Party, which he accused of obstructing his agenda. Experts say the court likely will sentence him to life in prison. South Korea hasn't executed anyone since 1997. I'm Julie Walker.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.